This is The Exchange on KUCB. I'm Lauren Rosenthal. Today we've had a bit of a programming change. Representative Bob Herron will be joining us hopefully later by phone, but I am joined right now by biologist Kevin Bailey, a fishery scientist and the author of a new book on pollock. The Billion Dollar Fish explores the boom and bust of pollock in our oceans. And it also tries to predict what will happen to Alaska's industry down the road. Dr. Bailey's book is due out this spring. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Bailey.
Nice to be here.
So you had a little bit of a unique introduction to pollock, as you explained in your book. Can you tell us about your early work as an observer?
Okay. Well, I was started as a fisheries biologist. I was hired right out of college. In 1974, I was hired as an observer on a crab fishing boat, and I was to be on a Japanese processing ship called the Keiko Maru. It was supposed to be a three-week cruise, and it ended up being about 4 months. The next year, I ended up going out on a Japanese pollock factory trawler. And that was my introduction to pollock.
Almost 40 years later now, you've written a book about pollock. So can you kind of explain to us why you saw a need to write the book?
I had been working back in the mid-80s. I'd worked in the donut hole fishery out in the central Bering Sea. And what happened in the donut hole, there was a complete collapse of that fishery. And I just felt like I was unsatisfied by not being able to complete a biological study of that population.
Sure. And you say in the book that not very many people know really what happened with that donut hole, which is amazing to me because you said the bottom fell out. Can you explain what happened in that area?
In the late 80s, as the Americanization of the pollock fishery was completed, the foreign fisheries were forced out. So they moved out into the international zone in the middle of the Bering Sea. That's outside of the 200-mile limit of both Russia and the United States. And they concentrated their fishery there. And there were, about 13 million tons of pollock there, which was a huge resource. And when we arrived there in 1986 on a research cruise, we found ourselves surrounded by 60 large factory trawlers within eyesight. So that fishery, really the bottom did drop out of it, and it was gone by, I think, 1990 or 1991. There was just hardly anything left.
So that area there in the Aleutian Basin that we're talking about, the donut hole, I mean, sort of the bottom falling out and the pollock disappearing, is that due to overfishing, or could that have been an environmental problem?
Probably, we don't know that much about the environment or what happened out there, but from the records that I've been able to collect, it didn't seem like there were any changes during that period that could explain the demise of that population. There was just a lack of recruitment or a lack of new fish being born into the population. You know, it's still not known what happened.
You write about the California sardine and Atlantic cod fisheries, which experienced remarkable collapses. I mean, after researching these things, you know, presenting these arguments in your book, do you see a risk for that now with the Alaska stocks?
Fishery stocks do tend to go up and down dramatically. The Western Bering Sea pollock population is just a trace of what it used to be. The unusual thing about the Eastern Bering Sea pollock is that we haven't seen these order of magnitude fluctuations in that population. I mean, we can say it's good management, and maybe it's something about the nature of that population that makes it fairly resilient. But I think there's always a danger that fish stocks are going to collapse. I don't claim that the Bering Sea, Eastern Bering Sea shelf population is going to collapse. I think we're at the point now where we're highly dependent on the new fish entering into the population each year. So how many 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old fish are coming into the fishery.
Why is that a problem?
Well, pollock can live to be about 30 years old, and so there's 30 different age classes. So that kind of dampens the effect of the strength of any one age class entering into the population. In recent years, up to 50% of the fishery has been dependent on new fish. And if for some reason you have 3 years of recruitment failure or poor year classes coming into the population, that can have a really significant effect on the overall abundance of the pollock population. Certainly the stock assessment people are very aware of this issue. And I know the fishermen some fishermen are also very concerned about it.
Can you tell me, you know, what you learned in your research about certifying a fishery as sustainable when, as you say, any fishery is potentially at risk of collapsing at some point?
Well, I would guess that's kind of a political question. I think most biologists are very aware that fish populations fluctuate naturally. You know, if you manage them conservatively, you're prolonging the life of that sustainability. That doesn't mean that the population's going to be there at a very high level forever. I don't think we're overfishing the pollock population, but we are having this effect on the population that is very hard to quantify. I mean, there's so much that we don't know about those fish. It's a very difficult problem, and I'm glad I'm not in the position of having to determine, you know, how many fish do we remove this year, you know, given that maybe the fish population has a declining trend. Do we be conservative and reduce the fishery and affect, you know, the livelihood of fishermen, or do we fish it aggressively and take a chance? And if you do take a chance, then it, you know, kind of goes belly up on you, then you've really impacted the fishermen. So it's a difficult job,
yeah.
I think.
Well, I think that's about all the time we have. Thank you so much for talking with us, Dr. Bailey. It was really great to hear from you and to hear about your book, about the rise of pollock, the billion-dollar fish.
Thank you, Lauren.
That's all for The Exchange. We were not able to connect with Representative Bob Herron, but we will be back during the next legislative session in January 2014. If you missed any part of today's program, you can find us online at kucb.org. We had production help today from Stephanie Joyce. I'm Lauren Rosenthal. Thanks for tuning in.